When a building is under construction, there are times when it seems like it will never be finished. But finally, after all the delays, both avoidable and unavoidable, it finally gets built, and now it's time for the inspection. These days, the process is fairly thorough. The mechanical systems are tested. The wiring is checked to see if it's up to code. The structure is analyzed for access and safety. Then there's a final walkthrough with a checklist for work that still needs to be completed. The building can only be used after it passes inspection. Well, something similar is happening at the tabernacle in the wilderness. Once Bezalel, Aholiab, and the rest of Israel's artisans were finished making the various parts of the tabernacle, their work had to be inspected. It needed to be inspected for quality assurance. This was because it was a matter of public safety. The tabernacle was going to be the dwelling place for the living God, who was awesome in holiness and glory. His house had to be made his way, or else the people would be exposed to mortal danger. After all, the last time the Israelites made something for worship, things ended badly. All the way back in Exodus 25:9, God was very clear that the Israelites were to make the tabernacle and its furnishings exactly like the pattern God would show Moses on the mountain. God then reiterated this command in Exodus 25:40 and in Exodus 26:30, emphasizing that the Israelites were to follow God's precise blueprints for his house with no variation. No less than 14 times in Exodus 39 and 40 are we told that the Israelites made everything as the Lord or just as the Lord commanded Moses, emphasizing that the Israelites did follow God's command to the letter. As the people were going about God doing God's work, he demanded their faithful obedience. God was holy, the tabernacle was going to be holy, and their holiness would be seen in their obedience to the Lord. By taking the holiness of God seriously and constructing the tabernacle exactly as the Lord commanded, with faithful obedience and excellence, they would pass Moses' inspection and be blessed by God. You know, this time the Israelites wanted to make sure they did everything right. So they brought their work piece by piece to Moses for inspection. That brings us to our big idea this morning, that God demands his people be about his work with faithful obedience and excellence. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open our eyes that we may see the truths that you have for us in your word. Open our ears that we may hear that truth and let it sink deep into our hearts, minds, and souls. And God, let us be your hands and feet as we obey your word and do the work you have for us to do in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's 3 points this morning, and each one will focus on what the work that Israelites did, the work that Jesus did, and the work that we are to do. First point is completion. That's found in Exodus 39:32. This is what God's word says. So all the work on the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was completed. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. So we're first going to focus on what the Israelites did. They finally finished all the work on the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Scholars estimate that it took around 6 months to build the tabernacle, the furnishings inside and out, and the courtyard. And we see the two most prevalent names for the structure that was to be God's house. First, the tabernacle was to be God's dwelling place on the earth. As a shadow of heaven, it taught the Israelites that their God was the creator God, and he was Lord of all. It also taught them about God's character. He's all-powerful. He's holy. He's loving. He wants to provide good things for his people, such as light, life, daily bread, answered prayers, and the law. And lastly, it taught them that God wanted to forgive their sins, and all they needed to do was to obey him. Second, the tent of meeting reminds us that it was also the place where the Israelites would be able to approach the Lord on his terms and meet with him. The word for finish means to bring a process to completion. And the process of building the tabernacle started when God revealed the plans to Moses, and Moses carefully and faithfully recorded them. And then we heard that the people committed the great sin against God with the golden calf. And after Moses interceded, God relented. And the fact that they were allowed to build the tabernacle was evidence that the covenant was back on track. The people were then commanded to bring an offering for the tabernacle from willing hearts that had been moved. Bezalel and Aholiab were put in charge to oversee all the work that was done. And the Israelites overwhelmingly responded out of gratitude for the Lord. And there was more than enough to do all the work that the Lord commanded. And finally now, the work has been completed. We see the obedience of the Israelites as they did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. And notice it was the Israelites who did everything. The entire Israelite community was involved in doing the Lord's work. Also notice that commanded is in the past tense. God gave his approval before Moses ever got a chance to do his inspection. It was already acceptable to God and he was pleased. This shows the finality and the totality of the work completed, and that it was done according to God's command. It tells us that God is watching how we go about the work that he's commanded us to do, and that his approval alone should be our goal. It was important that these blueprints were followed perfectly and precisely so that the people's purpose for being could also be achieved, which was to worship God and to be blessed to be a blessing to the nations. Now we turn our focus to Jesus and the work he completed. The main point of the tabernacle was to point the Israelites to Jesus Christ. Just like Moses could declare it is finished when it came to the tabernacle, there came a day when Jesus Christ would also say it is finished. Remember, Jesus came and tabernacled among us in a physical body, and his tabernacle was where God dwelt. Jesus came to the earth and lived a perfect life in obedience to God's law. And he needed to do this in order to be the spotless lamb that would take away the sins of the world. And we see the proof that Jesus was obedient to his Father's will in Philippians 2, verse 8, says this: "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus' life and death were on display for all the world to see, along with Satan and his Father in heaven. And one day the work that Jesus came down to earth to do would be inspected by God. And that brings our focus to us. Just like the Israelites, we've been given work from God to do while we live on this earth. And the work he's given us to do is found in his word, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says this: "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We find the blueprints for the work we are to accomplish in God's word, and we are to be obedient to what God has commanded us to do. Proof of our salvation is the transformation seen in how we live our lives in obedience to God. So what is this work that we should be doing for the Lord after our salvation? Well, we should be purposing to become more like Jesus in our faith and holiness, and following his will through good works, and performing actions that reflect his principles, such as loving others, caring for the poor, and promoting justice. We should also be growing as disciples of Jesus and working to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to pursue, grow, and multiply disciples. Ultimately, it involves aligning one's life and actions with God's desires. But we must do these things according to his will and his word. We can't do his work thinking we can do things our way and not his. We also can't stop doing his work just because it's inconvenient or difficult. And we must work looking for his approval and not man's. Obedience is the ultimate responsibility of the believer, while we are to leave the outcome in God's hands. Pink says this: "The quality of service is to be tested not by visible results, but by its conformity to God's word." 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this: "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." So let us be people who are aligning our lives and actions with God's desires. Let us be people who are focused on becoming more like Jesus in our faith and holiness. Let us be people who are disciples, who are pursuing, growing, and multiplying disciples. And let us be people who are doing all these things with faithful obedience to the Lord. That brings us to our first next step on the back of your communication card this morning, which is to be about the work God has given me to do on this earth with faithful obedience. That brings us to our second point, checked. That's found in Exodus 39, 33 to 43a. And again, I want to focus starting with the Israelites. We're told that after completing the work on the tabernacle and getting advanced approval from the Lord, they brought the tabernacle to Moses. We can make three important observations from verse 33. One, the tabernacle was portable. It could be broken down into parts to be transported. And this was important because if it was difficult to bring to Moses, then it would be difficult to transport to the promised land. And one of the purposes of the tabernacle was so that God could dwell with his people as they moved in the wilderness. Two, Moses was the only one qualified to check their work, because he was the one who was on the mountain and received the blueprints for the tabernacle from God himself. Even though God had already given his approval, Moses still needed to examine their work for quality assurance. And three, if the people brought the tabernacle to Moses, it meant that they were certain that it was done correctly. Their entire work had to be perfect, or Moses would reject it. And the fact that he did not reject any part of it meant that they had been obedient to God's commands and instructions and had done so with excellence. Then again, we see the list of what they made. And this emphasized that every individual part was manufactured to God's exact specifications and brought to Moses for inspection. Nothing was left out. But we learned something new in verse 37, where it talks about the pure gold lampstand with its, quote, lamps set in order, unquote. The Hebrew word for set in order is translated as array, which was a word most commonly used in terms of a battle array, where an army is lined up for battle. Garrett says this: the lamps seem to be set up as if a battle of the goodness of light is dispelling the evil of darkness. And this paints a vivid picture of Jesus as the light of the world, where he's shining in the darkness, and the darkness is not able to overcome it, as John 1:5 says. Verse 40 reminds us again what all these parts are for, and that it was the place where God ordained his people to properly meet with him, to bring their sacrifices to him, and to be forgiven of their sins. And verse 42 again reiterates that the Israelites had done all the work that the Lord had commanded to Moses. Coming immediately after the list of items brought before it, Moses emphasized that beyond a shadow of a doubt, all had been done properly and meticulously carried out as exactly as God commanded. And then again we see in verse 43a that Moses inspected the work and again saw that it was done just as the Lord had commanded. This is the third time in 12 verses that we've seen that phrase, emphasizing again their obedience and excellence in doing the work of the tabernacle. Moses did not just take a casual glance at the people's work when he inspected it. He closely scrutinized and checked every piece to make sure they were made properly. You know, he may even have performed some kind of stress test on certain parts to make sure they would stand up to the test of time or the wilderness. But what was the outcome of Moses' quality assurance inspection? The result was the inspection passed. They had followed God's commands and instructions, and they did their very best work. They did everything in obedience and with excellence. As we turn our focus on Jesus, his work on this earth also had to be checked to see if it passed inspection. First, his work needed to pass his own inspection. Hebrews 10:5 says this: therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. And verse 7 says, then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. Jesus examined himself and recognized that in his physical body, He could do the will of the Father. He could live a sinless life. He could do the work of salvation. And then second, Jesus' work had to pass God's inspection. His work in his physical body had to meet God's standard, and it did. We see this at Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3:17, which says this, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, but he still had to be tempted by the devil, preach the good news of the kingdom of God, and endure the cross. And he had to do it perfectly without sin. This was God's standard for his son's work. And of course, we know that Jesus did the work of our salvation perfectly, and he passed his Father's inspection. And we see this as Jesus on the cross declared, "It is finished." And God tore the temple veil in two from top to bottom. As we focus on us, we come before God bringing our work as God's household, a spiritual house, a holy temple of the Lord. And God will inspect our work done as God's holy tabernacle. Have we as a community of believers glorified God in everything we say and do? Have we followed the biblical pattern for God's house, pleasing him with our worship, teaching God's word faithfully, and bearing each other's burdens? Have we taken care of the widow, the orphan, and the stranger? Have we spoken God's truth in love? Have we labored in prayer? Have we depended on God in doing the work? And have we shared his gospel with the lost in our community and with the world? We should desire to pass God's inspection. And this will happen if we are obedient to his words, commands, and instructions, and if we do it all with excellence. And we should also desire God's approval and blessing on the work that he's given us. That brings us to our third point, commendation. This is found in Exodus 39, verse 43b. So you may have thought that Moses would comment more on all the work that the Israelites had done, but what we get is short and sweet. Those four words, "So Moses blessed them," packed a pretty big punch. The Israelites had followed God's commands and instructions to a T, not adding to what God required or taking anything away. They did everything in obedience and with excellence, and Moses blessed them, as was a common practice in biblical times. So what was this blessing? We don't know for sure, but it was probably a short prayer asking God to bestow his caring and loving benefits upon the people. One example of a blessing in Scripture is the Aaronic blessing found in Numbers 6, verses 22 to 26. And this blessing could be a clue for us because in verse 22 and 23 it says this, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites.'" And then God instructed Moses on what a divine blessing consisted of. And what followed was a prayer asking God to benefit his people. And we see these words in verses 24 to 26. It says this, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." The blessing that to be spoken by Aaron and his sons and Moses' blessing in Exodus 39 was to be done on God's behalf. They couldn't make God bless the Israelites just by saying these words. But if they correctly understood God's will and invoked the prayer in a form of a wish, it would be assumed it would be a true declaration of God's intent to benefit those who were being blessed. The proof that the blessing was from God would be that it came true. And since the Aaronic blessing is the one that we have in Scripture, I want to break down those benefits for you. To keep meant that God would be watching over his people, caring for and guiding them through life's dangers for their own good. To shine his face on you meant looking out for the general favor and benefit. To be gracious to you meant that God will give his people what they don't deserve or what they have not earned. To turn his face towards you meant God is paying special and favorable attention towards his people. And to give you peace means that God will give shalom, meaning peace to his people, which is wellness, wholeness, and good fortune. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that nothing negative will ever happen to that person who is being blessed, but it is a desire for God to bestow his goodwill on them. Now, of course, the specific blessing itself was not an important part of this chapter, or Moses would have included it. But the fact that the people were blessed by God through Moses was important. They had come a long way from building and worshiping the golden calf. Moses blessed them in response to their faithful obedience and their excellence in their complete community effort to build God's holy tabernacle. This was to encourage and reassure them that they had done exactly what the Lord commanded Moses, and that they were now in the favor of their covenant king and Lord. As for Jesus, we've seen that he completed his work that the Father gave him to do on the earth. He willingly went to the cross as the spotless lamb, and he declared, "It is finished." And Jesus' work was inspected by the Father, and he passed. Jesus had truly lived his earthly life without sin, and with and through his blood, the world was saved. The evidence of passing God's inspection would be God bestowing blessing on his Son. And this happened when God raised Jesus from the dead. Reichen says this: the resurrection was the Father's declaration that the Son had finished the work of our salvation perfectly. And further evidence of blessing was that God took Jesus back to heaven. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this: therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus completed the work God gave him to do, and he did it in obedience, and he did it with excellence. So what's this mean for us? We're to work for God on this earth in obedience and with excellence, knowing that one day our time of inspection and blessing will come. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this: for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And Revelation 22:12 says this: look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Reichen says this: just as the Israelites laid out the tabernacle for Moses, so our lives will be laid out before God, who alone knows all our secrets. The question is, have we offered such perfect obedience and excellence that we will pass inspection and be blessed by God? In 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 15 that Sue read, we see that only that which had been done for God's glory on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his redemption, and which stands the test of fire, shall abide and be rewarded. God will test, inspect, and bless everything that we've done according to his perfect standard. But thankfully, before inspecting us, God will first inspect the finished work of Jesus Christ. For those who have done his work in his way, through the blood of Jesus Christ and by spirit and not by the flesh, there will be blessing upon blessing. God will pronounce his blessing on everyone who trusts in Jesus, which is the only way to endure the final judgment. When we become one of God's children, Jesus becomes our righteousness, and we are able to pass God's inspection and be blessed. We become a child of God by admitting that we are sinners, believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, and confessing Jesus as Lord of our life. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, you will be saved. You will pass inspection, and you will be blessed. If you desire to talk more about salvation, please mark the upper right corner on your communication card on the back where it says becoming a follower of Jesus so I can be in touch with you. In conclusion, Joe Theismann had an amazing career as the quarterback of the Washington Redskins. He led the team to 2 Super Bowl appearances, winning in 1983 before losing the following year. When a leg injury forced him out of football in 1985, he was entrenched in the record books as Washington's all-time leading passer. Still, the tail end of Theismann's career taught him a bitter lesson. He says this, "I got stagnant. I thought the team revolved around me. I should have known it was time to go when I didn't care whether a pass hit Art Monk in the 8 or the 1 on his uniform. When we went back to the Super Bowl, my approach had changed. I was griping about the weather, my shoes, practice times, everything." He goes on to say, "Today I wear my 2 rings, the winner's ring from Super Bowl 17 and the loser's ring from Super Bowl 18. And the difference in those 2 rings lies in applying oneself and not accepting anything but the best." Colossians 3:23 says this, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters." That brings us to our last next step, which is to be about the work God has given me to do on this earth with excellence. As Gene and Roxy come to lead us in a final hymn, and as the ushers prepare to collect the tithes and offering, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to study your word. Thank you for giving us work to do on this earth. Help us by your Holy Spirit to be about that work in obedience and with excellence. In Jesus' name, amen.